This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Do you guys know Siskel and Ebert? Raise your hand if you know Siskel and Ebert. Have you heard their names? There are some people who know Siskel and Ebert. Those are the guys who give stars for movies. If the movie is really good, they give it like 4 stars. If it's not, maybe 3.5. This is, if the story is good, they'll give like points for it and so forth. Well, alhamdulillah, we have a very, very powerful story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. It's not only 4 stars, I give it 11 stars plus the sun and the moon. I mean, that's how powerful it is. And it is the best story. The story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so. He says, بَعْدَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Inshallah, we relate to you the best of stories. And of course, the best stories are the stories in the Qur'an. And the best of the best that has been related to us is the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. The best story, of course, is the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is a story that was related from the beginning to the end in a way that is powerful, because it is told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And so it starts off very powerful. You know, the majority of people, they make their decision on whether to listen to a person already right when they see that. When they see that, at the first 20 seconds or so, most people have already made their decision when the guy starts to speak. Okay, am I going to listen to this person or not? So you have to start very strong right from the beginning to get people's attention. Like you guys, probably you didn't even listen to me right when I came up here. You, some of you are probably saying, hey, we learning karate or what today? I thought we were learning about Surah Yusuf. I mean, you know, it's like, so alhamdulillah, hope I got your attention that way. Either way, I got your attention. But, you know, in the movies, at the beginning of the movie, right from the very beginning, you see this guy running, and there are cops that are chasing him. And then all of a sudden, he comes across the screen, and he has a scar on his face, and he gets shot down, and the police are, you hear the sirens coming. And then all of a sudden, the next scene comes, and 2 people are having breakfast. So you ask yourself, hey, what's going on? What happened? What did the Ra mean? You see all these symbols and some of these things, you don't know what it means. Ah, it's gotten your attention though. You will find out when the story continues. And you know, in order to make, if you want to, you want to be the best, you got to copy the best. Right? So you know those Hollywood and Bollywood guys, they probably copied from Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ سَاجِدِينَ إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ. Imagine, he's in the middle of the desert. In the middle of the desert, a boy comes and he says to his father, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says to his father, he says, Ya Abati, O my father, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. I saw in a dream 11 stars, the sun, the moon, the sun and the moon, all of them prostrating to me. So you're saying to yourself, hey, what does all that mean? Well, continue reading and you'll find out, because that's the opening scene to catch your attention. And then you're introduced to the story. And this is an amazing, amazing story. Having 50 minutes or so, we can't go through except for just a few portions of it, so that we can maybe inshallah extract some benefits from it. And so we will inshallah cover certain areas and certain verses to try to benefit from it as much as we can. And inshallah there will be classes coming up. I think Sheikh Ridha probably, if he can stand up, he'll probably be teaching Tafsir Surah Yusuf. Then you get all the juicy stuff, the details and everything like that in continuation. But we're going to extract as much as we can, inshallah, in the time that has been given, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us that Prophet Yusuf, of course, he was a prophet, but he was also a son of a prophet. Who was also a son of a prophet. Who was also a son of a prophet. And so his lineage was the highest of lineage. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who is the most noble? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Akramukum inda Allahi atqakum. The most noble of you is the person who is most mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has most taqwa, most God conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that's most noble of you. And so they said, no, we're not asking about that. And so he said, if that's the case, then the most noble of you, the most noble is Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. His father Yaqub was a prophet. His father Ishaq was a prophet. And of course his father, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a prophet. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Yusuf the knowledge, and not only did he give him knowledge and wisdom, he gave him knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. But how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is of course Prophet Yaqub telling him, وَكَذَٰلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَكَذَٰلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. And that's how your Lord chose you. Oh, he's speaking to, of course, this is Yusuf. Chose you, and he taught you the interpretation of dreams. This is an indication that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for a person, does He give him a lot of wealth? Maybe, maybe not. Not all rich people are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefer or like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants goodness for a person, He might give him wealth, he might not, but that's not an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for you. What's the indication that Allah wants goodness for you? Is that when you love this deen, when you learn the deen, and you understand the deen, you have the desire to learn the deen. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for him, he makes him understand this deen. And in the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, this story in itself is a miracle amongst the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, and specifically the details in the story are also, these are all miracles. And inshallah we'll try to extract some of them and mention some of the things. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in concerning this story, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, in Yusuf and his brothers is a sign, آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, for those who ask. It's simple. It's all there for you. Because when it comes to stories, stories are something that are very powerful, that you can get your points across without having somebody argue with you. So if you have somebody who's not praying, if you tell him to pray, he might feel like you're nagging. But if you tell a story to raise his iman so that he himself will start praying, it's much easier, and he will not have the opportunity to really argue with you. Because if you're telling a story, he says, oh, well, he can't stop you. You say, no, this is my story, let me finish the story off. So he's not going to stop and argue with you. And in these stories also, when we have stories, stories are a way to understand how to implement certain things, how to see it in practice. And so, when a person reads a story, it becomes a part of their morals and manners. And if you grow up in the West, if you grow up in the West and you're learning from just certain types of stories and you're reading fairy tales and so forth, you're going to be affected by the morals and manners that are in those stories. And sometimes some of those morals and manners, the things that you learn, might not always be good. Like sometimes you wonder, why is it that some sisters, why are they running off with that guy? That guy might be non-Muslim and so forth. And why is he, what's wrong with her? Why has she done that? It doesn't make sense at all. Her friends don't understand it. Her parents don't understand it. Well, maybe it's because when she was young, she was probably watching Aladdin. Maybe you might not understand it. You might think, it's a Disney cartoon. It's really simple, easy. But you have to understand. Look at the story itself. This is a person, right, who gets a princess who wants to marry this peasant, right? And of course the parents are not going to agree with it. So the lesson here, if your parents are not going to agree with it, it's okay. It's okay, you can go off on your carpet ride. You'll come back, your parents will be okay, and you guys will have a happily ever after ending. Right? And so do you want your children watching that? Learning like that, and now you're wondering why they're running off. Because they think they're going on a carpet ride. That's why. It's just a light, and it's something very nothing. And if you think you're wondering, oh, why are my kids so angry? Why are my kids like so daring, yelling at me and speaking to me like that? It's because they probably watched Bart Simpson. I mean, if they're learning their morals and manners from Bart Simpson, they're going to treat you like Homer. Right? They're going to treat you like Homer. That's the person who they emulate. So that's why we as Muslims, we have to start instilling and teaching our children the stories, the best of stories, the stories in the Quran, the stories about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can instill in them the true morals and manners of a Muslim. And so in this story, we learn that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam goes through many trials and tribulations. The first test that he's faced with is the test of jealousy from his brothers. So his brothers, they throw him in the well. They throw him into a well. And it's a story. So this is something that they did to him. They did to him. And they themselves, why are they doing that? What is the purpose? The reason why they throw him into the well, or decide to throw him into the well. The reason is because they want to earn the pleasure of their parents, of the father, and of their parents. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they themselves, when they mention of why they want to throw him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's telling us the story, when the brothers get together and they have their meeting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of them says,
اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين.
Kill Yusuf or toss him or throw him into the well. يخل لكم وجه أبيكم. يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Throw him into the well, get rid of him. Why? So that the face of your father, their father, will give all his attention to you guys, to the other brothers. So what do they want? They want the pleasure, they want the love of their father. But there's ways to earn the love of your father. And in Islam, if you want to earn something that is permissible, that is halal, the means and method also has to be halal. Now what they did wrong was that they took the wrong way to try to earn the pleasure of their father, meaning to gain his love. To gain the love of your father or your mother, it's something that is praiseworthy. But you also have to do it the right way. But they did the wrong way. What should they have done? They should have done as much as they could to earn the love of their parents by earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, He announces to Jibril. And then Jibril is ordered to announce to those in the heavens that Allah loves so and so, so love him. So you want to earn the love of somebody, should earn the love of Allah, earn the love of the angels, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write acceptance for you on earth. And be as kind as you can to your parents. And so there are ways to earn the love of your parents. But this way, the way that the brothers took, was not the proper way. So, if you want to do something, the means also has to be acceptable. You know, like if you wanted to earn the love of your mother, let's say you say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna start cleaning the dishes or washing the dishes now, because I want my mother to love me. So you walk and you go to the kitchen. On your way to the kitchen, your mother is sweeping and cleaning the kitchen, and you push her aside to get to the kitchen sink. So you push her aside, she falls down, and she asks you, why did you do that, son? Or why did you do that, daughter? Oh, mother, I was trying to wash the dishes to try to please you. What is she going to do? Probably slap you upside down. I mean, no. Right? She won't even want you to wash the dishes anymore. Because, yeah, you did. You had good intentions to try to please her by washing the dishes and doing the chores, but in the process, you did worse. So the means also has to be acceptable. And so they did not take the proper means. And so they threw him into the well. Now imagine, this is a boy that's being thrown into the well. If you read information that we have from the Torah and so forth, you'll see that it's mentioned that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very old, he was a youth already, 18 years of age or so. But in the Quran, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us how old he was?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specifically mention, but we can still, this is part of the miracle in the Qur'an, no word is ever wasted whatsoever. Every single word and letter is going to give us a meaning and give us something extra that we can extract from and benefit from. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He doesn't mention the age, we know the age of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, approximate age of Prophet Yusuf, from the words that are being used in the story, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when he's thrown to the well and he's taken out of the well, the person who takes him out of the well, he says, Ya Bushra, hadha ghulam. Oh, good news! This is a ghulam. So just from the word ghulam, we know that he was approximately 7 years of age, 8 years of age, seven at that age. After you're a toddler, before you have reached puberty. And so that's also part of the miracle of the Quran that you can extract and benefit from by looking at the words that are used. And of course, this is something that is told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, all of it, is true to the point. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course, this is a great story of patience. Patience. The first, not any type of patience, but beautiful patience. Beautiful patience. And what is beautiful patience? When Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is thrown into the well and the brothers come back at night time, they approach their father and they tell him, and they even bring evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. And so they come with a shirt with blood, fake blood. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bidamin kadhib, should be dam makdhub. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, damin kadhib, that means it's a lying blood, telling you that it's a lie. The blood itself is telling you that it's a lie. And so, when Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam sees the shirt, he looks at the evidence, and what does he see? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam says, oh my, what a merciful wolf that is. He tried to devoured my son, yet there's not a single tear on his shirt. My, what a merciful wolf. And so Prophet Yaqub immediately realizes that what they are saying is false. But look at the strength and the character of Prophet Yaqub. He says, as for me, he doesn't go off on them, yelling and screaming at them. Imagine if this really happened to somebody else, to maybe any one of us, we would probably be screaming upside down, you guys are grounded for life! Right? Screaming and yelling at them, maybe saying this and doing that to them, even if they were older, you would still, you know, if you know that they were lying. But he doesn't even scold them, puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just says, nay, indeed, this is something that you yourselves have concocted. As for me, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. As for me, I will have beautiful patience. And what beautiful patience did Prophet Yaqub have? For years and years, he was separated from his son. He was separated from his son. And he loved him more than any of his other sons. He loved him so much. But he still had hopes. He never gave up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so beautiful patience starts off from the very beginning. Right when the calamity befalls upon a person, You have to be patient. And you might wonder, why are these prophets going through so many when Allah loves them? Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to go through so much trials and tribulations? Do you know why? So that they can be the leader of those who are patient. And that's why our Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born an orphan. He was raised up not by his parents, by his uncle, and his uncle didn't even believe in the message. And they stoned him. And they, if you've been called names, you have never been called names like the Prophet ﷺ was called names. If you've been harmed, nobody has been harmed like the Messenger of Allah ﷺ physically when he was calling people to La ilaha illallah in Ta'if and other places, and he was choked, and the fetus of a camel was put upon him while he was making sujood. And also the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, his own family, his wife, people were spreading rumors about his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trial after trial, he had to go through. Why? And you know, he had to go through the times in which they were in Shi'b Abi Talib, in the mountain pass of Abi Talib, when they barely had anything to eat, when even Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, one night, I stepped on something wet, and then I put it in my mouth because I was so hungry. To this day, I don't even know what I put in my mouth. And they used to eat leaves. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were imprisoned, if you were kept away and starved, you never starved like the companion or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions in those days, and even the days afterwards. Why did they have to go through so much so that they can be the leaders of those who are patient? Like even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you've lost a child before puberty, did you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost three sons. Three sons when they were very young. Why did he have to go through all that? So that he can be an example for us in patience. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his headaches and the fever that he would feel was much more than any of us will ever feel. When he came in one day, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "O Messenger of Allah, wa ra'sah, O Messenger of Allah, my head hurts." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bal ya Aisha wa ra'sah." Said, "No, Aisha, my head hurts. We prophets and messengers don't feel pain like one of you. Our pain is multiplied. It's doubled and it's multiplied. So whatever headache you feel that we have ever felt, we have never felt the headache that the Prophet ﷺ felt. And whatever calamities and trials and tribulations you go through, or any fever, in fact the fever of the Prophet ﷺ was so high that the companions could not even, some of the companions when they touched him, they said, we could not even keep our hands there because he was so hot. Why? Why did the prophets and messengers have to go through all of this so that they can be the leaders of those who are patient? So that it can be an example for you. So that you yourselves, when you are facing these trials and tribulations, you say, "Ya Allah, you know these people were much better than me. What makes me think? What makes you think, for example? Why makes you think that? What makes you think that you deserve better?" They felt they faced even more trials and tribulations than any one of us. And so that's why it's something to console ourselves and to learn from, so that we can, so when you read the stories of the prophets and messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the story of Prophet Yusuf in the most difficult time in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a time in which the people of Mecca had rejected him. He went to Ta'if, and when he came back, he could not even come back into his town without having somebody sponsor him. And so it was the most difficult time in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To console his prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Surah to Yusuf at that time. And this is after the death of Abu Talib, and also after the death of his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And so these were very difficult times for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was sold sold to slavery to a foreign land, a land where people did not believe in Allah, did not believe in the Day of Judgment. And so he was sold, but he could have been sold to any place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan. And so he ended up in the house or the palace of the Aziz or the minister. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him also when he was in the house of the Aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ.
When he was then seduced by the wife of the Aziz, she locked up all the doors and she said, هَيْتَ لَكَ. هَيْتَ لَكَ is a word to say. You know, in our times, you might say, let's get it on, I'm ready. It's like, in another qira'ah, hu yi'tu lak, she prepared herself and adorned herself. And Prophet Yusuf was at the peak of his youth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right before this, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And when he reached his maturity, full maturity, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And that's how we reward the muhsinin. The muhsinin, those who perfect their relation between them and Allah. Because ihsan, there's two types. Ihsan between you and Allah, and ihsan between you and the people. And if you can perfect that, then you are a true muhsin. Because you are kind and righteous towards people. And your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also strong because you're always conscious of Him. So given this, he's in the house of the Aziz. And this woman, who of course was probably very beautiful herself. Why? Because noble people don't go around marrying any woman. Most likely she was very beautiful also. And so she herself, it's not him, she is the one that's asking to... that's trying to seduce him. So if you're put in that situation, the lesson to be taken from here is that sometimes you get a lot of peer pressure in high school. Sometimes you get a lot of peer pressure in college. It is not just from you, it's from the whole of the society, to the point that nowadays people make fun of you if you're still a virgin, if you're 16, 17, or 18. They come to you, hey dude man, you still a virgin man, what's wrong with you? And then if they're not a virgin, they're proud of it, proud of sin. And then you're caught up in that. That's a lot of peer pressure. If you feel peer pressure, I want you to imagine Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. He was a Muslim. Everyone around him was non-Muslim. All of the society was against him. And he wasn't looking for this, but people were coming. But this woman comes to him who is also very beautiful. So how do you keep yourself if you are put in front in that situation, those things? Listen to what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says of how you should be, what you should be thinking about to stay away from that. He says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The first thing he remembers, he says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He seeks help in Allah, because you should always seek help in Allah. And you should think of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing you should do in front of sins is seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, ma'ad Allah, he doesn't even have time to say, a'udhu billah. He says, ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which you are calling me. And then, what should your mindset be? Remember Allah, seek refuge in Allah, and then, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Indeed, surely He, my Lord, has provided me with all the comforts. Provide me with all these blessings. So some of the scholars, of course, have said, إِنَّهُ here is the Aziz. But the stronger of the two opinions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. إِنَّهُ يَعْنِي قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ يَعْنِي اللَّهِ It is Allah, my Lord, has provided me with so much. Meaning the next thought process, the next thing that you click to, when sin is brought in front of you, you think of all the great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Think about your family. Think about the clothing that you have. Think about Islam. Think about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If you think about the great blessings, then it will help you abstain from that which is haram. How can you disobey a Lord that gives you everything? He provides for you. He cares for you. He gives you sustenance. And He gave you hidayah. He gave you guidance to be a Muslim. How could you disobey somebody like that? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ And then you think about the consequences of that sin. Think about the consequence of that sin. Indeed, nobody. Indeed, you surely. A person who is a disobedience of Allah. A person who transgresses will never be successful in this life, nor will he be successful in the hereafter. Nor will he be successful. So think about that. So these are some of the things when a person is put into that situation, then you think about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, also this test that he goes through, it's a very difficult test. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, he said, indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's plenty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً هِيَ أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ He said, I have not left a trial, test for the men, that's more harmful for them than the woman. It's nothing against the woman, but that's their weak spot. For the men, that's the weak spot when it comes to that area. For the woman, generally it's the mouth, more than anything else. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you can guarantee me that you'll protect your mouth, that which is between your cheeks and your thighs, I will guarantee you Jannah. I will guarantee you Jannah. When it comes to the woman, and when it comes to men, that weak spot is that which is in the bottom. For the man, woman, usually it's between the tongues. Some people it's a little bit different here and there, but generally that's the case. But if you can protect those two things, then you'll be guaranteed Jannah. Say that which is pleasing to Allah alone, and then abstain from any of those desires that a person has. And so, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he's put in a very difficult situation. And he's not only going against this woman, but all of the women are in agreement, because when she invites them all, of course Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very handsome. And how could he not be handsome when he was a descendant of Prophet Ibrahim and Sarah? Do you know who Sarah was? She was one of the most beautiful women that walked the earth. When she came into Egypt, the king, because she was so beautiful, the king wanted her for himself. He wanted her for himself. And from them, of course, came Prophet Ishaq. And of course, the prophets and messengers were given beauty. Their beauty was in their character and also in their physical appearance also. So generation after generation, these are all, his forefathers were all prophets and messengers. And so when it came to Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in the Isra al-Mi'raj. Isra al-Mi'raj, in the Mi'raj going up, he met Prophet Yusuf and he said, I saw him and I saw that he was, وَقَدْ أُوْطِيَ شَطْرَ جَمَالٍ He was given half of beauty. Subhanallah, he was given half of beauty. That means whatever half left, the other half, we're sharing it right now. And after I was born, I don't know how much is left. No, just kidding. Just see if you guys are awake. Just seeing if you guys are awake. Plenty of left, alhamdulillah. So, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very, very handsome. And when he came about, of course, when they saw him, the blood that was dripping from their hands bear witness of how handsome Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was. And they called him to do that which was displeasing to Allah. But he chose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he chose prison. He chose prison over that which they were calling him to. And so this is also something that we could learn from. Because when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might feel that you might not be enjoying meaning the pleasures of this world and so forth. But just know that if you give up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it for you better in this life and the hereafter. In this life, before the hereafter even, will give you something better. So when you're put in a position where maybe this woman and so forth is asking you to do maybe bad things and vice versa also with the sisters, to stay away from haram, Allah, if you stay away from that, Allah will give you that which is much, much better. That which is much, much better. And that's why Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when when he was put in that situation, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. He said, indeed, O my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than what you are calling me to. Because what they are calling him to is permanent, is prison in the hereafter. The hellfire, that's what they're calling him to. And so that's why, prison, I will stay between these walls, the four walls. It's better than me than obeying you and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was put in prison, he also, look at how he behaved when he was in prison. He did not just isolate himself, but he was still trying to benefit people. He was still calling people to La ilaha illallah, calling people to the worship of Allah. So don't complain about your surroundings and circumstances. No matter what situation you're in, try to make the best of the situation. Even in prison, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was making da'wah. But how did he make da'wah? Look at how he made da'wah. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was beneficial to other people. And that's why they came to him. And that's why we as Muslims, you have to be the best neighbors. You have to be the best co-workers. You have to be the best classmate. So that your classmates will come to you. Your neighbors will come to you. Wow, I have such a great neighbor. Why is my neighbor like that? And then you tell him, the reason why I am so honest, I'm so kind to you, I'm so merciful to you, I'm so nice to you and so helpful to you, is because I am a Muslim. Do you want to know about Islam? So you make them come to you by being very kind to them, so that they come to you and ask you, why are you so exceptional? And you tell them about Islam. And that's what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did in prison. And that's why when they were coming to him and they were asking him about the interpretation of the dreams, they said, "Inna naraka min al-muhsinin." Indeed, we see you of those who do good. Look, even in prison he's doing good. These are his fellow prisoners telling him that. And so when he does that, he comes, he tells them, قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. I will not... You know, in prison, there's a time in which you eat. And food that comes to you doesn't always come to you when you want to. It comes to you when it's time for you to eat. And so he says, I will tell you what you're asking me about concerning the dream. But that same Lord who taught me the interpretation of dreams, Let me tell you more about that, Lord. So he's using that his actions, good actions, and kindness to steer people towards him so that he can call them to La ilaha illallah. And so he says, ذَلِكُمَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. That which you come to me for is what Allah has taught me. Let me tell you more about Allah. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. I have left a people who have no belief, who do not believe in Allah, and in the hereafter they reject. And then he tells them what he follows. So he's calling them to La ilaha illallah. And when you call them to La ilaha illallah, speak to them in a language that they understand. And that's exactly what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did. He says, يا صاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد أم الله الواحد القهار. Oh, my fellow prisoners, like he's speaking to them in a kind way, are many lords, many masters better than one master who is all-powerful? Why is he telling them this? Because he knows them. These are servants. And so he's speaking to them in a language that they understand. You being a servant, is it better for you to serve many masters and get confused? This person telling you to do this and the other person tells you to do that. Or is it better to serve one Lord, the one and only God, the Almighty God? So you have to speak to them in the language that they understand. And so he's using this opportunity before telling them what they want, answering their questions, he's giving them La ilaha illallah. And a lot of us, when people come to you and they ask you, why do you wear the hijab? If we waste a lot of time trying to mention this and modesty and so forth, the first thing that I want you to say is this. I want you to tell, this is what my Lord told me. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Just like Prophet Yusuf said, that's what my Lord ordered me. And now, I believe the Qur'an is the word of God, and the Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God, and I believe that these injunctions are ordered to me by God. I believe in God, I believe in the Qur'an, I believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other prophets and messengers, and this is what God has ordered me to do. And then you know what they're going to say? They can't argue with you. They can't argue. You've already said, you know what? You've already protected yourself. Anything comes back, now you tell them. Then you go to the next step. You tell them, do you know why I believe that the Qur'an is the word of God? Do you know why I believe that God created me and ordered me to do this? And now it's giving you the opportunity. The ball is in your court. You tell them about La ilaha illallah. Because sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to mention some of the reasons and so forth, and then we finish with the reasons and that person's still not Muslim. He still hasn't received the message of La ilaha illallah, that which all the prophets and messengers have been sent for. Then after that, then you tell them about the statistics or whatever you have concerning the virtues of the hijab and so forth. After that, but you give them La ilaha illallah and use that opportunity. The first thing you say is, I believe this is what God has ordered me to do. Are they going to say? What are they going to say? They have nothing else. They won't argue with you. Always come back to that. And so you have the opportunity now to give them the message of La ilaha illallah. And that's what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did. I know that we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to move on inshallah about beautiful patience. Of course, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Prophet Yusuf eventually ends up being the most influential person in Egypt. Why? Because of his patience. Because of his taqwa. Even through all these trials and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Prophet Yusuf. When he got out of prison, not only is he going out to the streets of Egypt, no, he's going to the palace of Egypt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. And that's how we establish Yusuf on earth. Establish him on earth, that he can roam the earth, go wherever he wants. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him that such great power, or such great authority? نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَن نَشَاءُ. We surely send our blessings, our mercy upon whom we will. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we will never let the efforts of those who are the muhsinin, al-muhsinun, those who do good, those who are sincere, who are giving all that they have to please Allah and also be kind to the people, the muhsinun, we never let their efforts go to waste. And we will reward them in this life, like Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Prophet Yusuf in this life by giving him wealth and authority at the end. But وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. But the reward of the hereafter is much better for those who believe and have piety and are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the brothers come, when the brothers of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when they come, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam has been separated from his father for many years, from his brothers for many years. And not only that, if you read the story, we know that Prophet Ya'qub loses his son Yusuf, and also his other son Benjamin, because he kept them, now he's with Yusuf. And the eldest son has also imposed upon himself a self-imposed exile. So he's lost three of his most beloved son. Three of his most beloved son. And when he's given the news that he has lost all his sons, three of his most beloved sons, what does he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ. When he's given this news, he turns around. He turns away from them. Do you know why he turns away from them? Because that's what beautiful patience is. Beautiful patience is when you do not turn to other people, but you turn to Allah alone. And you strengthen yourself with that calamity by prayer. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. By increasing your prayer, increasing your connection with Allah. And you don't look for sympathy from the people. You don't look for sympathy from the people. Some people, when something befalls upon them, oh, you know, this thing happened to me and so forth, and you're telling everybody so that they can come, oh, sister, I'm so sorry, is there anything? You're always telling, no. The one that you should turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he says, since the beginning, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. When he lost his son, when he saw that shirt, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. Allah is the one whom I seek help, who I turn to. So he turns away and he says, يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفْ. Oh, woe, the sorrow of the loss of Yusuf. So notice that even though they tried to separate Yusuf from his father so that his father would love them more, the brothers more, the opposite happened. Why? Because when you try to gain something incorrectly, you are punished by the opposite. I mean, you're punished with the opposite. So the love of Prophet Yaqub only increased. It didn't decrease. It only increased. And he says, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. He's not telling his sons and his grandsons and his family. He turns away. But they overhear him. And he cries. So crying is not something that nullifies beautiful patience. Why? Because when you cry, it shows that you have nobody else to turn to except Allah. And that's why a woman, when she wants something and you don't give it to her, she cries, because that's the only weapon that she has left. And she'll break down and cry, and the husband will say, okay, fine, here, you can have it. You can have that new Lexus now. right? Because that's the only weapon that she has. And so when you cry to Allah, you are saying that, Ya Allah, I have no one else except You to help me. And so you're putting your full trust in Allah. And that's crying to Allah. And when you're making dua to Allah, when you're praying between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're crying, and you're alone, that is something that's very, very praiseworthy. And it does not nullify beautiful patience. As long as you don't complain like, oh Ya Allah, why did this happen to me? No. You are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. At the same time, you seek help in Allah from Allah alone. And so they think, so Allah, when they overhear him, this is one of the most powerful scene in Surah Yusuf. They overhear their father mentioning Yusuf, and so they say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. By Allah, you will continue to remember Yusuf. They're sympathetic towards him. Why is he crying until he becomes blind? And you're going to continue to remember that, remember Yusuf, even all these days, until you become weak because of old age, or until you pass away. Until you pass away. You're going to continue to remember all that, remember Yusuf all that time. So what does Prophet Yaqub say?
قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ.
He says, indeed I am turning to Allah alone to complain, not in terms of a bad complaint, meaning to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning my sadness and my calamity. I'm not looking for sympathy from you. As if he's saying, I'm not looking for sympathy from you. That's part of beautiful patience. When something happens, it makes you even stronger. It makes you even stronger. And part of beautiful patience is never losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he never lost hope. And so he tells his sons,
يَا بَنِي اذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
Oh my children, go out and search for him vehemently. Search for Yusuf and his brother, and do not lose hope. For indeed nobody loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah except disbelievers. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what kind of sins you have committed before, you should never lose hope. Allah is always there to accept your repentance. And when something happens, you should never lose hope. Nobody loses hope except for disbelievers. Do you know why? Because when a person loses hope, he is like, let's say he has committed some sins, and he's lost hope. When a person loses hope, he says, it's as if he's saying, Ya Allah, my sins are so great, your mercy can't even encompass it. A'udhu billah. How can you say that? That's why you should never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the disbelievers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, in the end, they meet again. And Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, even after all that was done to him, forgives his brothers. He forgives his brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, not only does he forgive his brothers, he forgives his brothers and he doesn't even want to mention it and remind them at all whatsoever, so that they would not feel uncomfortable. So when they realized that the minister of Egypt at that time was Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf, he says to them in the famous words, the ayat in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used when he entered Mecca, because the Messenger of Allah, remember, was also was harmed, and he was called names and bad things were done to him by his people, just like Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam faced the trials from his brothers. And so he says to them, he says, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Indeed, today لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There's no blame on you today. There's no blame on you today. يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you. For indeed He is surely the most merciful of those who show mercy. So He has forgiven His brothers. And because He has given His brothers, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also forgiven them. Because it's the sin between Him and His brothers. And so if it's a sin between you and another person, that person has to forgive you first. And so, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is... Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam forgives his brothers. And not only does he forgive his brothers, he tries not to mention it again. Because some of us, we say we forgive our spouses when they do wrong to us. But then we always try to dig it up again. Remember he did that to me a long time ago, 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, and you're always digging up. Remember when we were young, and you said, but you said you were forgive. No, I just said it that time. But you, when you forgive them, brush it aside, and don't mention it again. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ. And indeed, Allah has been surely kind to me in that He took me out of of prison. Notice that He did not, because He's in the presence of His brothers. So where did Allah take him out of first? The well. But He didn't mention the well. Why? Because His brothers were there. He forgave them. He did not want to put more salt and rub it in more. He had already forgiven them. So forgiving is always better than keeping in your heart. Because there are some people who say, there are some people who say they forgive. I know this thing is telling me to be quiet. It's time for you to go. But you know what? Never give a woman a telephone or a sheikh a microphone. That's what Sheikh Yasser Fazaka used to always tell me. Right? And so, let me just finish with one thing. One story, last story, inshallah. You should always forgive. Because when you forgive, when a person forgives and doesn't have any envy and jealousy in their hearts, these are the people of Jannah. Their hearts are clean because nobody enters Jannah except for people with clean hearts and pure. And so if you can purify your heart of jealousy and envy and all of that, then inshallah you enter Jannah. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bear witness about a person, I'm pretty sure a lot of you have know the story of the person who came into the masjid. He said that next person who comes into the masjid will be amongst the person in Jannah. And he bear witness three times. He bear witness three times. And of course in the end, what was it? What was it that he had? The thing that he had was he never had it. Before he would go to sleep, he would always forgive. He would always forgive and would never have envy or jealousy towards anybody. And those are the characteristics of Jannah. But you know, you might say, well, you know, somebody says something to you, it's very hard to forgive sometimes. But let me tell you how to do it. You want me to tell you how to do it? If you want to forgive people, and you should forgive people, when they do things, when they wrong you and so forth, especially when it's people who are close to you, relatives and so forth, be forgiving. Why? How? Before you go to sleep, sometimes, you know, it's difficult. You say, ah, it's in your heart. And how do you say, how can that person say that to me? How can this person do this to me? And so some people, they never forgive for years. Sometimes a lifetime when they see that brother or sister again, it's never the same ever again. They don't forgive them. But let me tell you something. Before you go to sleep, I want you to do this. Is keeping it in your heart, would you like to keep that in your heart until the day of judgment? They have wronged you, inshallah, you get some reward from them. Yeah, let me keep that, let me get the reward. Or do you want to be amongst the people of Jannah? Ask yourself, do I want to keep that in my heart? Or I want to be amongst the people of Jannah? I hope the answer, inshallah, is that you want to be amongst the people of Jannah. So ask yourself, isn't Jannah worth forgiving that person? Isn't Jannah worth it? And I hope it is for all of us, inshallah. And so that's some of the lessons that we can take amongst the thousands and thousands of lessons that we can extract from the story of Prophet Yusuf. Wa jazakumullahu khair wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Do you guys know Siskel and Ebert? Raise your hand if you know Siskel and Ebert. Have you heard their names? There are some people who know Siskel and Ebert. Those are the guys who give stars for movies. If the movie is really good, they give it like 4 stars. If it's not, maybe 3.5. This is, if the story is good, they'll give like points for it and so forth. Well, alhamdulillah, we have a very, very powerful story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. It's not only 4 stars, I give it 11 stars plus the sun and the moon. I mean, that's how powerful it is. And it is the best story, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so. He says, بَعْلَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ It shall we relate to you the best of stories. And of course the best stories are the stories in the Qur'an. And the best of the best that has been related to us is the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. The best story, of course, is the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is a story that was related from the beginning to the end in a way that is powerful, because it is told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And so it starts off very powerful. You know, the majority of people, they make their decision on whether to listen to a person already, right when they see that. When they see that at the first 20 seconds or so, most people have already made their decision when the guy starts to speak. Okay, am I going to listen to this person or not? So you have to start very strong right from the beginning to get people's attention. Like you guys, probably you didn't even listen to me right when I came up here. Some of you are probably saying, hey, we learning karate or what today? I thought we were learning about Surah Yusuf. I mean, you know, it's like, so alhamdulillah, hope I got your attention that way. Either way, I got your attention. But you know, in the movies, at the beginning of the movie, right from the very beginning, you see this guy running and there are cops that are chasing him. And then all of a sudden, he comes across the screen and he has a scar on his face and he gets shot down and the police are, you hear the sirens coming. And then all of a sudden, the next scene comes and 2 people are having breakfast. So you ask yourself, hey, what's going on? What happened? What did that all mean? You see all these symbols and some of these things, you don't know what it means. Ah, it's gotten your attention though. You will find out when the story continues. And you know, in order to make, if you want to be the best, you got to copy the best. Right? So you know those Hollywood and Bollywood guys, they probably copied from Surah Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا
إني رأيت 11 كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم ساجدين.
إذ قال يوسف لأبيه, imagine he's in the middle of the desert. In the middle of the desert, a boy comes and he says to his father, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says to his father, he says, Ya Abati, oh my father, إني رأيت 11 كوكبا. I saw in a dream 11 stars, the sun, the moon, the sun and the moon, all of them prostrating to me. So you're saying to yourself, hey, what does all that mean? Well, continue reading and you'll find out, because that's the opening scene to catch your attention. And then you're introduced to the story. And this is an amazing, amazing story. Having 50 minutes or so, we can't go through except for just a few portions of it, so that we can maybe inshallah extract some benefits from it. And so we will inshallah cover certain areas and certain verses to try to benefit from it as much as we can. And inshallah there'll be classes coming up. I think Sheikh Ridha probably, he can stand up, he'll probably be teaching Tafsir Surah Yusuf. Then you get the juicy stuff, the details and everything like that in continuation. But we're going to extract as much as we can, inshallah, in the time that has been given, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us that Prophet Yusuf, of course, he was a prophet, but he was also a son of a prophet. Who was also a son of a prophet. Who was also a son of a prophet. And so his lineage was the highest of lineage. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who is the most noble? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Akramukum inda Allahi atqakum. The most noble of you are those, are the ones who are most, is the person who is most mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has most taqwa. Most God-conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that's most noble of you. And so they said, no, we're not asking about that. And so he said, if that's the case, then the most noble of you, the most noble is Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. His father Yaqub was a prophet. His father Ishaq was a prophet. And of course his father, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a prophet. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Yusuf the knowledge, and not only did he give him knowledge and wisdom, he gave him knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. But how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is of course Prophet Yaqub telling him, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. And that's how your Lord chose you. He's speaking to, of course, this is Yusuf. Chose you, and he taught you the interpretation of dreams. This is an indication that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for a person, does He give him a lot of wealth? Maybe, maybe not. Not all rich people are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefer or like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants goodness for a person, He might give him wealth, He might not. But that's not an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for you. What's the indication that Allah wants goodness for you? Is that when you love this deen, when you learn the deen, and you understand the deen, you have the desire to learn the deen. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for him, he makes him understand this deen. And in the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, this story in itself is a miracle amongst the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us, and specifically The details in the story are also, these are all miracles. And inshallah we'll try to extract some of them and mention some of the things. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in concerning this story, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, in Yusuf and his brothers is a sign, آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, for those who ask. It's not, it's simple. It's all there for you. Because when it comes to stories, stories are something that are very powerful, that you can get your points across without having somebody argue with you. So if you have somebody who's not praying, if you tell him to pray, he might feel like you're nagging. But if you tell a story to raise his iman so that he himself will start praying, it's much easier and he will not have the opportunity to really argue with you. Because if you're telling a story, he says, oh, well, he can't stop you. You say, no, this is my story, let me finish the story off. So he's not going to stop and argue with you. And in these stories also, when we have stories, stories are a way to understand how to implement certain things, how to see it in practice. And so, when a person reads a story, it becomes a part of their morals and manners. And if you grow up in the West, and you're learning from just certain types of stories, and you're reading fairy tales and so forth, you're going to be affected by the morals and manners that are in those stories. And sometimes some of those morals and manners, the things that you learn, might not always be good. Like sometimes you wonder, why is it that some sisters, why are they running off with that guy? That guy might be non-Muslim and so forth, and why is he, what's wrong with her? Why has she done that? It doesn't make sense at all. Her friends don't understand it. Her parents don't understand it. Well, maybe it's because when she was young, she was probably watching Aladdin. Maybe you might not understand it. You might think, it's a Disney cartoon. It's really simple, easy. But you have to understand. Look at the story itself. This is a person, right, who gets a princess who wants to marry this peasant, right? And of course the parents are not going to agree with it. So the lesson here, if your parents are not going to agree with it, it's okay. It's okay, you can go off on your carpet ride. You'll come back, your parents will be okay, and you guys will have a happily ever after ending. Right? And so do you want your children watching that, learning like that? And now you're wondering why they're running off. Because they think they're going on a carpet ride. That's why. It's just a lie, and it's something nothing. And if you think, you're wondering, oh, why are my kids so angry? Why are my kids like so daring, yelling at me and speaking to me like that? It's because they probably watched Bart Simpson. I mean, if they're learning their morals and manners from Bart Simpson, they're going to treat you like Homer. Right? They're going to treat you like Homer. That's the person who they emulate. So that's why we as Muslims, we have to start instilling and teaching our children the stories, the best of stories, the stories in the Quran, the stories about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can instill in them the true morals and manners of a Muslim. And so in this story, we learn that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam goes through many trials and tribulations. The first test that he is faced with is the test of jealousy from his brothers. So his brothers, they throw him in the well. They throw him into a well. And it's a story. So this is something that they did to him. They did to him. And they themselves, why are they doing? Why are they doing that? What is the purpose? The reason why they throw him into the well, or decide to throw him into the well. The reason is because they want to earn the pleasure of their parents, of the father, and of their parents. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they themselves, when they mention a why they want to throw him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's telling us the story, when the brothers get together and they have their meeting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of them says,
اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين.
Kill Yusuf or toss him or throw him into the well. يخل لكم وجه أبيكم. يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Throw him into the well, get rid of him. Why? So that the face of your father, their father, will give all his attention to you guys, to the other brothers. So what do they want? They want the pleasure, they want the love of their father. But there's ways to earn the love of your father. And in Islam, if you want to earn something that is permissible, that is halal, the means and method also has to be halal. Now what they did wrong was that they took the wrong way to try to earn the pleasure of their father, meaning to gain his love.
To gain the love of your father or your mother, it's something that is praiseworthy. But you also have to do it the right way. But they did the wrong way. What should they have done?
They should have done as much as they could to earn the love of their parents by earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, He announces to Jibreel. And then Jibreel is ordered to announce to those in the heavens that Allah loves so-and-so, so love him. So you want to earn the love of somebody, should earn the love of Allah, earn the love of the angels, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write acceptance for you on earth. And be as kind as you can to your parents. And so there are ways to earn the love of your parents. But this way, the way that the brothers took, was not the proper way. So, if you want to do something, the means also has to be acceptable. You know, like if you wanted to earn the love of your mother, let's say you say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna start cleaning the dishes or washing the dishes now, because I want my mother to love me. So you walk and you go to the kitchen. On your way to the kitchen, your mother is sweeping and cleaning the kitchen, and you push her aside to get to the kitchen sink. So you push her aside, she falls down and she asks you, why did you do that, son? Or why did you do that, daughter? Oh, mother, I was trying to wash the dishes to try to please you. What is she going to do? Probably slap you upside down. I mean, there's no... Right? She won't even want you to wash the dishes anymore. Because, yeah, you did. You had good intentions to try to please her by washing the dishes and doing the chores, but in the process, you did worse. So the means also has to be acceptable. And so they did not take the proper means. And so they threw him into the well. Now imagine, this is a boy that's being thrown into the well. If you read information that we have from the Torah and so forth, you'll see that it's mentioned that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very old. He was a youth already, 18 years of age or so. But in the Quran, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us how old he was? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specifically mention, but we can still, this is part of the miracle in the Quran, no word is ever wasted whatsoever. Every single word and letter is going to give us a meaning and give us something extra that we can extract from and benefit from. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He doesn't mention the age, we know the age of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, approximate age of Prophet Yusuf, from the words that are being used in the story. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when he's thrown to the well and he's taken out of the well, the person who takes him out of the well, he says, Ya Bushra, hadha ghulam. Oh, good news. This is a ghulam. So just from the word ghulam, we know that he was approximately 7 years of age, 8 years of age, seven at that age. After you're a toddler, before you have reached puberty. And so that's also part of the miracle of the Quran that you can extract and benefit from by looking at the words that are used. And of course, this is something that is told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, all of it, is true to the point. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course, this is a great story of patience. Patience. The first, not any type of patience, but beautiful patience. Beautiful patience. And what is beautiful patience? When Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is thrown into the well and the brothers come back at night time, they approach their father and they tell him, and they even bring evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. And so they come with a shirt with blood, fake blood. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bidamin kadhib, should be dam makdhub. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, damin kadhib, that means it's a lying blood telling you that it's a lie. The blood itself is telling you that it's a lie. And so, when Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam sees the shirt, he looks at the evidence, and what does he see? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam says, Oh my, what a merciful wolf that is. He tried to devour my son, yet there's not a single tear on his shirt. My, what a merciful wolf. And so Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yaqub, immediately realizes that what they are saying is false. But look at the strength and the character of Prophet Yaqub. He says, as for me, he doesn't go off on them, yelling and screaming at them. Imagine if this really happened to somebody else. To maybe any one of us, we would probably be screaming upside down, you guys are grounded for life! Right? Screaming and yelling at them, maybe saying this and doing that to them. Even if they were older, you would still, you know, if you know that they were lying. But he doesn't even scold them, puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just says, nay, indeed, this is something that you yourselves have concocted. As for me, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. As for me, I will have beautiful patience. And what beautiful patience did Prophet Yaqub have? For years and years, he was separated from his son. He was separated from his son. And he loved him more than any of his other sons. He loved him so much. But he still had hopes. He never gave up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so beautiful patience starts off from the very beginning. Right when the calamity befalls upon a person, you have to be patient. And you might wonder, why are these prophets going through so many when Allah loves them? Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to go through so much trials and tribulations? Do you know why? So that they can be the leader of those who are patient. And that's why our Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born an orphan. He was raised up, not by his parents, by his uncle, and his uncle didn't even believe in the message. And they stoned him. And they, if you've been called names, you have never been called names like the Prophet ﷺ was called names. If you've been harmed, nobody has been harmed like the Messenger of Allah ﷺ physically when he was calling people to La ilaha illallah in Ta'if and other places, and he was choked, and the fetus of a camel was put upon him while he was making sujood. And also the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, his own family, his wife, people were spreading rumors about his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trial after trial, he had to go through. Why? And you know, he had to go through the times in which they were in Shi'b Abi Talib, in the mountain pass of Abi Talib, when they barely had anything to eat, when even Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, one night, I stepped on something, something wet, and then I put it in my mouth because I was so hungry. To this day, I don't even know what I put in my mouth. And they used to eat leaves. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were imprisoned, if you were kept away and starved, you never starved like the companion or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions in those days, and even the days afterwards. Why did they have to go through so much so that they can be the leaders of those who are patient? Like even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you've lost a child before puberty, did you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost three sons. Three sons when they were very young. Why did he have to go through all that? So that he can be an example for us in patience. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his headaches and his headaches and the fever that he would feel was much more than any of us will ever feel. When he came in one day, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, wa ra'sa, O Messenger of Allah, my head hurts. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bal ya Aisha wa ra'sa. Said, no Aisha, my head hurts. We prophets and messengers don't feel pain like one of you. Our pain is multiplied. It's doubled and it's multiplied. So whatever headache you feel that we have ever felt, we have never felt the headache that the Prophet ﷺ felt. And whatever calamity and trials and tribulations you go through, or any fever, in fact the fever of the Prophet ﷺ was so high that the companions could not even, some of the companions when they touched him, they said, we could not even keep our hands there because he was so hot. Why? Why did the prophets and messengers have to go through all of this so that they can be the leaders of those who are patient, so that it can be an example for you, so that you yourselves, when you are facing these trials and tribulations, you say, Ya Allah, you know, these people were much better than me. What makes me think? Why is it? What makes you think, for example? What makes you think that you deserve better? They felt they faced even more trials and tribulations than any one of us. And so that's why it's something to console ourselves and to learn from, so that we can, so when you read the stories of the prophets and messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the story of Prophet Yusuf in the most difficult time in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a time in which the people of Mecca had rejected him. He went to Ta'if, and when he came back, he could not even come back into his town without having somebody sponsor him. And so it was the most difficult time in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To console his prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Surah to Yusuf at that time. And this is after the death of Abu Talib, and also after the death of his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And so these were very difficult times for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was sold to slavery to a foreign land, a land where people did not believe in Allah, did not believe in the Day of Judgment. And so he was sold, but he could have been sold to any place, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan. And so he ended up in the house or the palace of the Aziz or the minister. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him also when he was in the house Abdulaziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. When he was then seduced by the wife of the Aziz, she locked up all the doors and she said, هَيْتَ لَكَ. هَيْتَ لَكَ is a word to say. You know, in our times, you might say, let's get it on. I'm ready. It's like, in another qira'ah, hu yi'tu lak, she prepared herself and adorned herself. And Prophet Yusuf was at the peak of his youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right before this, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. And when he reached his maturity, full maturity, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And that's how we reward the muhsinin. The muhsinin, those who perfect their relation between them and Allah. Because ihsan, there's two types. Ihsan between you and Allah, and ihsan between you and the people. And if you can perfect that, then you are a true muhsin. Because you are kind and righteous towards people. And your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also strong because you're always conscious of Him. So given this, he's in the house, in the house of the Aziz, and this woman, who of course was probably very beautiful herself. Why? Because noble people don't go around marrying any woman. Most likely she was very beautiful also. And so she herself, it's not him, she is the one that's asking to... that's trying to seduce him. So if you're put in that situation, the lesson to be taken from here is that sometimes you get a lot of peer pressure in high school. Sometimes you get a lot of peer pressure in college. It is not just from you, it's from the whole of the society, to the point that nowadays people make fun of you if you're still a virgin, if you're 16, 17 or 18. They come to you, hey dude man, you still a virgin man, what's wrong with you? And then if they're not a virgin, they're proud of it, proud of sin. And then you're caught up in that. That's a lot of peer pressure. If you feel peer pressure, I want you to imagine Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he was a Muslim. Everyone around him was non-Muslim. All of the society was against him. And he wasn't looking for this, but people were coming. But this woman comes to him who is also very beautiful. So how do you keep yourself if you are put in front in that situation, those things? Listen to what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says of how you should be, what you should be thinking about to stay away from that. He says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The first thing he remembers, he says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He seeks help in Allah, because you should always seek help in Allah. And you should think, of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing you should do in front of sins is seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, ma'ad Allah, he doesn't even have time to say, a'udhu billah. He says, ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which you are calling me. And then, what should your mindset be? Remember Allah, seek refuge in Allah, and then, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Indeed, surely He, my Lord, has provided me with all the comforts. Provide me with all these blessings. So some of the scholars, of course, have said, إِنَّهُ here is the Aziz. But the stronger of the two opinions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Innahu yani, qala ma'adha Allah, innahu yani Allah. It is Allah, my Lord, has provided me with so much. Meaning the next thought process, the next thing that you click to, when sin is brought in front of you, you think of all the great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Think about your family. Think about the clothing that you have. Think about Islam. Think about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If you think about the great blessings, then it will help you abstain from that which is haram. How can you disobey a Lord that gives you everything? He provides for you. He cares for you. He gives you sustenance. And He gave you hidayah. He gave you guidance to be a Muslim. How could you disobey somebody like that? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And then you think about the consequences of that sin. Think about the consequence of that sin. Surely, a person who is a disobedience of Allah, a person who transgresses, will never be successful in this life, nor will he be successful in the hereafter. Nor will he be successful. So think about that. So these are some of the things when a person is put into that situation, then you think about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, also this test that he goes through, it's a very difficult test. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, he said, indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's plenty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً هِيَ أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. He said, I have not left a trial, test for the men, that's more harmful for them than the woman. It's nothing against the woman, but that's their weak spot. For the men, that's the weak spot when it comes to that area. For the woman, generally it's the mouth, more than anything else. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you can guarantee me that you'll protect your mouth, that which is between your cheeks and your thighs, I will guarantee you Jannah. I will guarantee you Jannah. When it comes to the woman, and when it comes to men, that weak spot is that which is in the bottom. For the man, woman, usually it's between the tongues. Some people, it's a little bit different here and there. But generally that's the case. But if you can protect those two things, then you'll be guaranteed Jannah. Say that which is pleasing to Allah alone, and then abstain from any of those desires that a person has. And so, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, he's put in a very difficult situation. And he's not only going against this woman, but all of the women are in agreement, because when she invites them all, of course Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very handsome. And how could he not be handsome when he was a descendant of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ibrahim and Sarah? Do you know who Sarah was? She was one of the most beautiful women that walked the earth. When she came into Egypt, the king, because she was so beautiful, the king wanted her for himself. He wanted her for himself. And from them, of course, came Prophet Ishaq. And of course, the prophets and messengers were given beauty. Their beauty was in their character and also in their physical appearance also. So generation after generation, these are all, his forefathers were all prophets and messengers. And so when it came to Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him in the Isra al Mi'raj. Isra al Mi'raj, in the Mi'raj going up, he met Prophet Yusuf and he said, I saw him and I saw that he was وَقَدْ أُوْطِيَ شَطْرَ Jamal. He was given half of beauty. Subhanallah, he was given half of beauty. That means whatever half left, the other half, we're sharing it right now. And after I was born, I don't know how much is left. No, just kidding, see if you guys are awake. Just seeing if you guys were awake. Plenty of left, alhamdulillah. So, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was very, very handsome. And when he came about, of course, when they saw him, the blood that was dripping from their hands bear witness of how handsome Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was. And they called him to do that which was displeasing to Allah. But he chose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he chose prison. He chose prison over that which they were calling him to. And so this is also something that we could learn from. Because when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might feel that you might not be enjoying the pleasures of this world and so forth. But just know that if you give up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it for you better in this life and the hereafter. In this life, before the hereafter even, will give you something better. So when you're put in a position where maybe this woman and so forth is asking you to do maybe bad things and vice versa also with the sisters, to stay away from haram, Allah, if you stay away from that, Allah will give you that which is much, much better. That which is much, much better. And that's why Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam, when when he was put in that situation, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. He said, indeed, O my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than what you are calling me to. Because what they are calling him to is permanent, is prison in the hereafter. The hellfire, that's what they're calling him to. And so that's why, prison, I will stay between these walls, the four walls. It's better than me than obeying you and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was put in prison, he also, look at how he behaved when he was in prison. He did not just isolate himself, but he was still trying to benefit people. He was still calling people to La ilaha illallah, calling people to the worship of Allah. So don't complain about your surroundings and circumstances. No matter what situation you're in, try to make the best of the situation. Even in prison, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was making da'wah. But how did he make da'wah? Look at how he made da'wah. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was beneficial to other people. And that's why they came to him. And that's why we as Muslims, you have to be the best neighbors. You have to be the best co-workers. You have to be the best classmate. So that your classmates will come to you. Your neighbors will come to you. Wow, I have such a great neighbor. Why is my neighbor like that? And then you tell him, the reason why I am so honest. I'm so kind to you. I'm so merciful to you. I'm so nice to you and so helpful to you. Is because I am a Muslim. Do you want to know about Islam? So you make them come to you by being very kind to them so that they come to you and ask you, why are you so exceptional? And you tell them about Islam. And that's what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did in prison. And that's why when they were coming to him and they were asking him about the interpretation of the dreams, they said, Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. Indeed we see you of those who do good. Look, even in prison he's doing good. These are his fellow prisoners telling him that. And so when he does that, he comes, he tells them, قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. I will not. You know, in prison, there's a time in which you eat. And food that comes to you doesn't always come to you when you want to. It comes to you when it's time for you to eat. And so he says, I will tell you what you're asking me about concerning the dream. But that same Lord who taught me the interpretation of dreams, let me tell you more about that Lord. So he's using that, his actions, good actions and kindness to steer people towards him. So that he can call them to La ilaha illallah. And so he says, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. That which you come to me for is what Allah has taught me. Let me tell you more about Allah. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. I have left a people who have nobly who do not believe in Allah, and in the hereafter they reject. And then he tells them what he follows. So he's calling them to La ilaha illallah. And when you call them to La ilaha illallah, speak to them in a language that they understand. And that's exactly what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did. He says, Ya sahibay sijni arbabun mutafarriqun khayrun amillahul wahidul qahhar. Oh, my fellow prisoners, like he's speaking to them in a kind way, are many lords, many masters better than one master who is all-powerful? Why is he telling them this? Because he knows them. These are servants. And so he's speaking to them in a language that they understand. You being a servant, is it better for you to serve many masters and get confused? This person telling you to do this and the other person tells you to do that. Or is it better to serve one Lord, the one and only God, the Almighty God? So you have to speak to them in the language that they understand. And so he's using this opportunity before telling them what they want, answering their questions, he's giving them La ilaha illallah. And a lot of us, when people come to you and they ask you, why do you wear the hijab? If we waste a lot of time trying to mention this and modesty and so forth. The first thing that I want you to say is this. I want you to tell, this is what my Lord told me. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Just like Prophet Yusuf said, that's what my Lord ordered me. And now, I believe the Qur'an is the word of God, and the Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of a God, and I believe that these injunctions are ordered to me by God. I believe in God, I believe in the Qur'an, I believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other prophets and messengers, and this is what God has ordered me to do. And then you know what they're going to say? They can't argue with you. They can't argue. You've already said, you know what? You've already protected yourself. Anything comes back. Now you tell them. Then you go to the next step. You tell them, do you know why I believe that the Quran is the word of God? Do you know why I believe that God created me and ordered me to do this? And now it's giving you the opportunity. The ball is in your court. You tell them about La ilaha illallah. Because sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to mention some of the reasons and so forth, and then we finish with the reasons and that person's still not Muslim. He still hasn't received the message of La ilaha illallah, that which all the prophets and messengers have been sent for. Then after that, then you tell them about the statistics or whatever you have concerning the virtues of the hijab and so forth. After that, but you give them La ilaha illallah and use that opportunity. The first thing you say is, I believe this is what God has ordered me to do. Are they going to say? What are they going to say? They have nothing else. They won't argue with you. Always come back to that. And so you have the opportunity now to give them the message of La ilaha illallah. And that's what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam did. I know that we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to move on inshallah about beautiful patience. Of course, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Prophet Yusuf eventually ends up being the most influential person in Egypt. Why? Because of his patience. Because of his taqwa. Even through all these trials and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Prophet Yusuf. When he got out of prison, not only is he going out to to the streets of Egypt. No, he's going to the palace of Egypt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. And that's how we establish Yusuf on earth. Establish him on earth, that he can roam the earth, go wherever he wants. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him that such great power or such great authority? نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَن نَشَاءُ. We surely send our blessings or our mercy upon whom we will.
ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين.
And we will never let go. We will never let the efforts of those who are the muhsinin, al-muhsinun, those who do good, those who are sincere, who are giving all that they have to please Allah and also be kind to the people, the muhsinun. We never let their efforts go to waste. And we will reward them in this life, like Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Prophet Yusuf in this life by giving him wealth and authority at the end. But
وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
But the reward of the hereafter is much better for those who believe and have piety and are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the brothers come, when the brothers of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when they come, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam has been separated from his father for many years, from his brothers for many years. And not only that, if you read the story, we know that Prophet Ya'qub loses his son, Yusuf, and also his other son, Benjamin, because he kept them. Now he's with Yusuf. And the eldest son has also imposed upon himself a self-imposed exile. So he's lost three of his most beloved son. Three of his most beloved son. And when he's given the news that he has lost all his sons, three of his most beloved sons, what does he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ
وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ. When he's given this news, he turns around. He turns away from them. Do you know why he turns away from them? Because that's what beautiful patience is. Beautiful patience is when you do not turn to other people, but you turn to Allah alone. And you strengthen yourself with that calamity by prayer. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. By increasing your prayer, increasing your connection with Allah. And you don't look for sympathy from the people. You don't look for sympathy from the people. Some people, when something befalls upon them, this thing happened to me and so forth, and you're telling everybody so that they can come, oh sister, I'm so sorry, is there anything? You're always telling, no. The one that you should turn to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he says, since the beginning, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. When he lost his son, when he saw that shirt,
وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ.
وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. Allah is the one whom I seek help, who I turn to. So he turns away and he says, يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. Oh, woe, the sorrow of the loss of Yusuf. So notice that even though they tried to separate Yusuf from his father so that his father would love them more, the brothers more, the opposite happened. Why? Because when you try to gain something incorrectly, you are punished by the opposite. I mean, you're punished with the opposite. So the love of a Prophet Yaqub only increased. It didn't decrease. It only increased. And he says, Ya Asafa ala Yusuf. He's not telling his sons and his grandsons and his family. He turns away. But they overhear him. And he cries. So crying is not something that nullifies beautiful patience. Why? Because when you cry, it shows that you have nobody else to turn to except Allah. And that's why a woman, when she wants something and you don't give it to her, she cries because that's the only weapon that she has left. And she'll break down and cry, and the husband will say, okay, fine, here, you can have it. You can have that new Lexus now. Right? Because that's the only weapon that she has. And so when you cry to Allah, you are saying that, Ya Allah, I have no one else except you to help me. And so you're putting your full trust in Allah. And that's crying to Allah. And when you're making dua to Allah, when you're praying, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're crying, and you're alone, that is something that's very, very praiseworthy. And it does not nullify beautiful patience. As long as you don't complain like, oh Ya Allah, why did this happen to me? No. you are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. At the same time, you seek help in Allah from Allah alone. And so they think, so Allah, they when they overhear him, this is one of the most powerful scene in Surah Yusuf. They overhear their father mentioning Yusuf, and so they say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفُ حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. By Allah, you will continue to remember Yusuf. They're sympathetic towards him. Why is he crying until he becomes blind? And you're going to continue to remember that? Remember Yusuf, even all these days, until you become weak because of old age, or until you pass away? Until you pass away. You're going to continue to remember all that, remember Yusuf all that time? So what does Prophet Ya'qub say?
قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ.
He says, indeed I am turning to Allah alone to complain, not in terms of a bad complaint, meaning to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning my sadness and my calamity. I'm not looking for sympathy from you. As if he's saying, I'm not looking for sympathy from you. That's part of beautiful patience. When something happens, it makes you even stronger. It makes you even stronger. And part of beautiful patience is never losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he never lost hope. And so he tells his sons,
يَا بَنِي اذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
Oh my children, go out and search for him vehemently. Search for Yusuf and his brother and do not lose hope. For indeed nobody loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah except disbelievers. No matter what your circumstances, no matter how many, what kind of sins you have committed before, you should never lose hope. Allah is always there to accept your repentance. And when something happens, you should never lose hope. Nobody loses hope except for disbelievers. Do you know why? Because when a person loses hope, he is like, let's say he has committed some sins and he's lost hope. When a person loses hope, he says, it's as if he's saying, Ya Allah, my sins are so great, your mercy can't even encompass it. A'udhu billah. How can you say that? That's why you should never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the disbelievers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, in the end, they meet again. And Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, even after all that was done to him, forgives his brothers. He forgives his brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, not only does he forgive his brothers, he forgives his brothers and he doesn't even want to mention it and remind them at all whatsoever, so that they would not feel uncomfortable. So when they realized that the minister of Egypt at that time was Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf, he says to them in the famous words, the ayat in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used when he entered Mecca, because the Messenger of Allah, remember, was harmed, and he was called names and bad things were done to him by his people, just like Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam faced the trials from his brothers. And so he says to them, he says, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Indeed, today, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There's no blame on you today. There's no blame on you today. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you. For indeed He is surely the most merciful of those who show mercy. So He has forgiven His brothers. And because He has given His brothers, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also forgiven them. Because it's the sin between Him and His brothers. And so if it's a sin between you and another person, that person has to forgive you first. And so, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is Prophet Yusuf. alayhi salam, forgives his brothers. And not only does he forgive his brothers, he tries not to mention it again. Because some of us, we say we forgive our spouses when they do wrong to us. But then we always try to dig it up again. Remember he did that to me a long time ago, 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, and you're always digging up. Remember when we were young? And you said, but you said you were forgiven. No, I just said it that time. But you, when you forgive them, brush it aside, and don't mention it again. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is what Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ. And indeed, Allah has been surely kind to me in that He took me out of prison. Notice that He did not, because He's in the presence of His brothers. So where did Allah take Him out of first? The well. But He didn't mention the well. Why? Because His brothers were there. He forgave them. He did not want to put more salt and rub it in more. He had already forgiven them. So forgiving is always better than keeping in your heart. Because there are some people who say, there are some people who say they forgive. I know this thing is telling me to be quiet. It's time for you to go. Because you know what? Never give a woman a telephone or a sheikh a microphone. That's what Sheikh Yasser Fazaka used to always tell me. Right? And so, let me just finish with one thing. One story, last story, inshallah. You should always forgive. Because when you forgive, when a person forgives and doesn't have any envy and jealousy in their hearts, these are the people of Jannah. Their hearts are clean, because nobody enters Jannah except for people with clean hearts and pure. And so if you can purify your heart of jealousy and envy and all of that, then inshallah you enter Jannah. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bear witness about a person, I'm sure a lot of you have know the story, of the person who came into the masjid. He said that next person who comes into the masjid will be amongst the person in Jannah. And he bear witness three times. And of course in the end, what was it? What was it that he had? The thing that he had was he never had it. Before he would go to sleep, he would always forgive. He would always forgive and would never have envy or jealousy towards anybody. And those are the characteristics of Jannah. But you know, you might say, well, you know, somebody says something to you, it's very hard to forgive sometimes. But let me tell you how to do it. You want me to tell you how to do it? If you want to forgive people, and you should forgive people, when they do things, when they wrong you and so forth, especially when it's people who are close to your relatives and so forth, be forgiving. Why? How? Before you go to sleep, sometimes, you know, it's difficult. You say, it's in your heart. And how you say, how can that person say that to me? How can this person do this to me? And so some people, they never forgive for years. Sometimes a lifetime, when they see that brother or sister again, it's never the same ever again. They don't forgive them. But let me tell you something. Before you go to sleep, I want you to do this. Is keeping it in your heart, would you like to keep that in your heart until the day of judgment? They have wronged you, inshallah, you get some reward from them. Yeah, let me keep that, let me get the reward. Or do you want to be amongst the people of Jannah? Ask yourself, do I want to keep that in my heart? Or I want to be amongst the people of Jannah? I hope the answer, inshallah, is that you want to be amongst the people of Jannah. So ask yourself. Isn't Jannah worth forgiving that person? Isn't Jannah worth it? And I hope it is for all of us, inshallah. And so that's some of the lessons that we can take amongst the thousands and thousands of lessons that we can extract from the story of Prophet Yusuf. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.